All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
Chocolate starfish.
Well, they wanted Rolling Down the River, Proud Mary by Ike and Tina or Creedence, but we got Limp Bizkit rolling instead. I didn't have any CCR Ike beating up on Tina in my computer here, so.
Why not?
Yeah, Rolling Down the River as they went down from the Tallapoosa right here behind the AES boat ramp all the way down to Fort Morgan. Wow, what a trek. On personal watercraft, Joyce Carborough, Byron Thornhill in the studio this morning. Two of the guys that did it with their buddy Shep Morris. And you did it for Shep, you said.
Yep.
And
Shane
and I was like, what?
Why?
We could have come up with something else for Shep, couldn't we?
Whatever happened to a bottle of Jim Beam?
I think that might have been included in the trip. But anyway, appreciate you guys coming in. What was it like, man? I mean, golly, that had to be some kind of trip.
Oh, it was long.
Yeah,
long. That was the biggest thing. A lot of preparation involved.
What preparation goes into it? Tell us what you had to do to map this thing out to get ready for such a long 400-plus-mile trip from Tallahassee to Fort Morgan, which is way down there on the coast.
Like we were talking about, the biggest thing is it's not like it's littered with Amoco stations or Citgo stations. You really got to know where your fuel is and how far you can go on a tank of fuel, too.
How much does a tank get you? I mean, in a Sea-Doo or one of these personal watercraft?
I think we could, on a tank, about 50 miles, I think.
Yeah, we could.
Y'all could go 50?
Yeah, it'd get about 7.5 miles per gallon.
So 7 miles a gallon, 50, basically is a small tank.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Wasn't very good.
Now, you strapped on these tanks on the back. How many tanks did y'all have on the back of there?
I think me and Joey had 4 5-gallon tanks apiece. And Shep had one.
How far did y'all get? What was Shep thinking?
Yeah.
So how far did you get before you ran out of that allotment of fuel?
That got us about 155, 160 miles on that, carrying that much fuel. So we could.
And how far is 150 or 160 miles? That's not quite even halfway, is it?
From Montgomery to Miller's Ferry.
Yep. Yeah.
So that covered a good bit.
So there, you get it all together. I mean, how much time did it take just to prep?
Well, we started in December, kind of talking about it.
Yeah.
You know,
brought this on? I mean, what makes you think, hey, I'd like to do this? Who came up with the initial idea there?
I think probably
was that you, Joey? Was that you, Byron? Or was it Shep?
I don't know.
Of course, y'all did it for Shep.
I don't know. We just got to talking about it. We've ridden down the Tallapoosa down to Montgomery a few times.
Yeah.
We've ridden up and down the Tallapoosa probably past 6-7 years, and we got to talking about wanting to do a long trip, and shoot, why not just go all the way to the Gulf? And you know, first we were like, no, you can't do that. Like I think how a lot of people think, but we started doing the mapping and figured out our fuel. And once we figured out that it was possible, we really started putting it into action.
What's the biggest hurdle in doing that? What was the toughest part?
Crossing Mobile Bay.
Yeah, that was just because of the conditions of Mobile Bay.
Yeah, but
it's not going through the locks and all of that because there's several locks. People think about, well, they got to go over dams like the Thurlow Dam here. How do they go over that? There's none of those passed here all the way down, is
there? Yeah, I think, what do they call it? The Tallapoosa is not navigable. The Alabama River is navigable, and that means you can, I guess it's still open for barges and commercial traffic. So,
did you see any of those along the way?
Two sets of barges.
Now, what did they think when they saw it? Did they recognize you? And these little bitty things out there with a big barge coming up.
Everybody we passed, we kind of laughed, would look at us in amazement. A lot of fishing boats. A lot of folks were fishing in Alabama, and you know, they in fact, what was it? The last day it was pouring down rain, and of course we didn't have any business out there. And we'd go past these guys fishing, and they would look at us like we were crazy, and we would look at them like they're crazy out there being in the rain. But it was interesting though.
You had problems right at the get-go. You're not even to Fort Toulouse, and there's problems with the personal watercraft. Which one was giving you trouble at that point?
Byron, which one gave us trouble first?
I think Ship's.
Ship so Ship comes first. Without fuel. He's late. He doesn't have gas. He's got a bad machine, so Ship's.
Well, he knew his motor was going to blow up. Why bring fuel?
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of problems is Ship having at this point at, what, just 20-plus mile, 30 yeah, miles downstream?
We weren't far at all, and I'm not sure what happened. We hadn't looked at it, but it was motor failure. I think it locked up. But
it's no good.
Yeah, it's done.
But y'all thought about this. You had backups.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had a couple backups in place. We had two up here in the Taos area, and then we actually took one down to Fort Morgan earlier in the week.
So you're thinking once you get to a certain point, you can bring it from there or take it from here, wherever, right. And wherever the closest point is.
That's
so
right.
Cammy and Beth, who are, you know, the wives of you two, are there to help out, and they bring the spare.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is to Fort Toulouse.
Fort Toulouse. Well, Ship's personal watercraft kind of blew up. And then as I was pulling Ship, trying to make it to Fort Toulouse, mine had something happened to it. It locked up or something. So Byron was the only one there that still had a running vehicle. And as Byron was pulling me back, I got on my cell phone and called Cammy and told her to meet us at Fort Toulouse with a trailer. We're pulling them out. Just bad idea. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. And we were just all kind of down and out. I remember looking at Byron. He had his head down, shaking. You know, I was already planning, well, I guess I better go to work tomorrow and what I need to be doing. And I guess when we met Cammy there at the boat ramp, by then Beth had gotten there too and told her we was probably going to end the trip. And they both just jumped on us and told us that was a bad idea. We've been planning this so long that they weren't going to let us go down like that. So they talked us into continuing on. Cammy offered to bring us a wave runner in the morning. We ended up camping out at Fort Toulouse, which is 40 miles, with another 400 or so to go in front of us. So at that point, we were just happy to get any mile we could.
All right, were you concerned that this is it? Did you have any other backups after those backups?
We had one more.
So one more.
We had one in Fort Morgan.
But it was in Fort Morgan.
We would have probably had to made it to Miller's Ferry to justify him.
Miller's Ferry is near Selma, is that right? Or just past Selma, is that right?
Lowe's.
Is it Wilcox remember. County?
Wilcox
Dallas,
County.
Somewhere over that area.
All right, so you get to go along. Is it pretty easy riding on the Alabama River? It's nothing to it.
It was fun. It real smooth. You know, it's not like the lake where you have to worry about big waves and wakes of other boats. It's just glass. And it was fun going down the river. The Gulf was pretty tiresome.
How fast were y'all going on the river? And these things will kind of go a little faster than people might think. These things will get up and move. So
probably average 30 miles an hour overall.
Try to keep it about 30.
Did you have a timetable you thought that we need to be there by this or whatever?
Yeah. And that was part of since our personal watercraft broke down the first day, we kind of got behind schedule. So that left the whole trip behind schedule. So each day we were trying to make up that time.
So what do you do at night? I mean, you just pull over somewhere and crash?
They camped.
We got lucky, I guess, really, because we camped at Fort Toulouse the first night, and then the second day we made it all the way to Miller's Ferry, and they have a nice Corps of Engineers campground there. So we stayed there the second night, and that was it.
Now, are you lugging, when I go camping, I need a U-Haul. are you lugging tents and sleeping bags, or are the wives following on?
We had one 3-man tent, and a tarp. That's about it.
Yeah, a bunch of beanie weenies and vina socks.
Yeah, sleeping was not very easy for you two, but you said Shep slept like a baby.
Oh yeah, that man can sleep.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself, so we just like to bash him.
Yeah, he's probably asleep.
Yeah. So you get to the point. This is where it gets really interesting. To the bay. Down to Fairhope, you get ready to go to Mobile Bay, and you could go along the shoreline, but it would have taken forever. You decide we'll go straight across. Well, if there's any doubt, maybe we shouldn't do this, because didn't you run in somebody said this is not maybe the day to go across Mobile Bay?
In some uncertain terms, yeah, that's what he told us. I guess when we got to Fairhope, we'd already covered like 400 miles, so we really only had about 20 miles left. And everybody was telling us, it's going to be pretty rough, and You know, not really a good idea, but I guess we come down, like Shep said, some tunnel vision there. We done gotten so close, and we didn't want to give up then. We knew a lot of folks were waiting on us, and we decided to cross it, and it was pretty bad. Hindsight, we probably shouldn't have done it. Glad we did.
But do you think Mobile Bay, you think it's a bay? This is not the ocean. It can't be that bad.
Yeah.
But it was pretty bad, though, wasn't it? Yeah. How bad was it?
It was pretty bad. I'd say, what do you think, 4 to 6 foot swells out there? Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad.
I mean, even when all three Sea-Doos were running good, we couldn't go but maybe 8 miles an hour. We were beforehand running 30 miles an hour easy.
Yeah. Is a fear factor part of the problem that you're in the middle of that bay, which is a huge bay, by the way. You can't see anything but water. Yeah, how scary is that?
Middle, you can't see anything. You can't see any land once you're in the middle of it.
And track this whole thing by GPS, right? Yeah. You can't see
I didn't realize that.
Just like going out in the ocean, once you get so far out, you can't see anything but blue water.
Negative. Yeah. No can do. I'm not doing that.
The only way we really, of course, we had the GPS is that were telling us where to go, but we could also, I don't know which company it is, operates the cruise ship out of Mobile, but it was leaving about the same time we were, and we just kind of pointed it towards where he was going because we knew they were going out the mouth, and that's right there at Fort Morgan. But it was pretty bad.
So y'all followed that?
Yeah.
Best you could.
Tried to. It actually outran us. It was going faster than we were.
Yeah.
It was really so rough that you couldn't, at that point, you couldn't look at your GPS, really.
Nah, couldn't look down.
Well, I would be scared because the GPS doesn't work or whatever. And I mean, you could get disoriented pretty easy, out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty big bay.
It is.
You get to turn around in circles, get going the wrong way.
It is. It is. And I think I told you earlier that the scariest part about the bay is when we were coming down the river, if we ever had motor trouble or something wasn't right, you know, within 30, 40 feet of either side of you, you could pull off on the bank. In the bay, you don't have that luxury.
Mm.
And we knew if one of them ever quit, we were just going to be dead in the water. And I don't know about Byron.
Really, bad pun.
Byron, I know I couldn't keep mine standing up if it quit because you had to kind of keep it headed into the waves.
What do you do? You just have to let it lay in. You have to fall into the water in your life jacket or get on with your buddy or what? I mean,
I don't know what.
Luckily, it didn't glue it enough to find that.
They didn't plan for that.
Yeah.
That's right.
You had people, though, waiting to come in the boat if they needed to, though, right? Your dad was there, Byron.
Yeah,
I think.
My dad had a guy that was would come get us, but luckily we made it back before he had to get all those people involved.
And we didn't want to. And I was talking to Joy yesterday. I said, "Well, this is where you see, Coast Guard has to come out and do a rescue, and these are the people that you say these stupid people that we have to, send people out." You said you didn't want to be that person that you always talk about.
I don't know. We were scared. I was scared, but.
Yeah,
I think that was my biggest concern. I didn't want to end up on like 12 o'clock news and showing me and Byron sitting on wave runners and,
making an example of what not to do. Yeah.
Well, you had, did you have communication still? I know your phone went out, didn't it, Joey? But you still had one that worked, Byron?
Actually, Joey still worked, but again, it was so rough in the bay that we couldn't get to it.
You're just fighting that.
By the time we had got to the Fort Morgan Marina, it smoothed out, and Joey was able to call my dad and at least tell him where we were.
Yeah. Does your phone work now? Is it still operational?
Barely.
Yeah. It's a little salt water gets to it, or briny. What is it, brackish? What do they call that stuff?
Brackish, I believe.
Now, Cammie's here on her birthday. Cammie, come up to the microphone. Let's chat with you for a moment because you were waiting there with Beth and everybody else, and you see Shep come in because y'all had to send Shep early because something with his, he had to go in and kind of just take off, right?
Yeah.
Joy, is it?
I think he could go a little faster. He actually had to go a little faster because the way his is made, it's a little smaller, so he couldn't slow down or it would tip over. So
he had to just get on down there.
We told him to continue on because halfway across the bay, Byron's personal watercraft had another mechanical problem. That put us down to about 6 miles an hour. So it wasn't a good situation. We told Shep to go ahead, he went on ahead of us to inform the family and everything, not to send the Coast Guard after us. We'd just be a little bit behind.
What was your response, Cammie, when you see Shep first, no other Sea-Doo?
Well, I saw a Sea-Doo, and it was yellow, and I said, oh, it's Shep. But then I looked all around, and I didn't see any other wave runners, anything like that. So I was happy to see Shep, but unhappy to see that there was nobody with him. But he came in, and I could tell he was a little disoriented, I guess. And I said, what's going on? One of them's limping. I just looked at him. I said, who is limping? And he said, one of the Sea-Doos. So, you know, that's not exactly how I would have approached it, but hey, whatever. So I was glad to hear that they were still out there. And he said he had to come on just to let us know that they were out there. They'd be there soon. And I kind of felt bad for Shep. I wanted to celebrate for him. We had this champagne that when they got
off
in,
the court,
we were going to pop the cork and everything. But I just had to break it to him that we couldn't pop it yet.
Break it on the side of the Sea-Doo, I think, is how you do it, don't you? Well, how long was it before you guys got there after Shep?
About 30 minutes.
So about 30 minutes later, you got them in, and everybody was fine. Mm-hmm. Wow. And how rough is it on the body to do that over a 2-3 day trip?
I'm still a little bit sore. Yeah. A lot better, but still a little bit sore.
And I would do it again in a second if we could take our time.
Yeah.
That was no. We were just so rushed after getting behind that first day. Like, the last day, we covered about 220 miles in one day.
We were
rode for 15 hours.
We were running for 14 hours.
Does it hurt the hiney most? Is that where you're hurting most? You're sitting a long time. You're squatting and crouching.
Really, not really. I don't know why, but my legs and shoulders.
But you're fighting it with that, too, I guess. Yeah.
Because a lot of the time across the bay, you would have to stand up because it was beating you so bad.
And the bay is, what, 25 miles across? What is it? Something like that?
Where we crossed, it was about 18.
So that was the toughest part of the entire trip. That 18 miles versus all the other 400.
I would have traded that for the 400.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, y'all did it. It's quite a feat, and congratulations. Rest up. And next, what are you going to do? You going to go down the Mississippi or something like that? You got any ideas?
We talked. So Byron's from Tuscaloosa. What's that, the Black Warrior?
Black Warrior.
Yes.
We've talked about doing that, maybe.
Black Warrior goes, where does it end up going to?
It comes down West Alabama.
Yeah.
It comes through West Alabama, and I guess dumps into the Tennessee, Tom Bigby, around Demopolis, maybe. Yeah.
And goes all the way to the Mobile Bay. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll continue to follow follow the travels of these brave warriors here. Joey Scarborough, Byron Thornhill, Shep Morris, who couldn't be with us. He's sleeping in this morning. Appreciate y'all coming. Tammy Butler as well, now a Scarborough. She was a Butler. She is the new wife of Joy. Appreciate y'all coming down.
Thank you.
And good luck with the rest of the stuff that happens along the way. And I think Beth had the best line, Cammie. What was it?
Men.
All right. We'll come back with more here on this Wednesday. Bill Goss with the History of Tattleson coming up from 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM.